to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, and we are so excited again to be here. And back by popular demand. I mean, the demand was so amazing. It was incredible. Carrie Ann Caswell is back with us. Welcome, Carrie Ann.
Thank you, Stephen.
And Debbie Hoppe is back with us.
Hello, Steve.
It's so great to have you both here. And this is one of my favorite subjects, and the title of the show is Called and Sent. And it is so important to understand that we are all called. Okay, but first the test, you know, before we get into this. The Baltimore Catechism. What is our purpose?
We were made to know, love, and serve God.
I knew.
To be happy with Him in the next.
Oh wow!
Good, you know,
there was a second of a pause as she looked at me. But say it again, slower, one more time.
Well, the Catechism actually read, "Why did God make us?"
Okay.
God made us to show forth His goodness and share with Him the everlasting life.
And keep going, and to know Him.
God made us to know Him, love Him, to serve Him in this world, and to be happy with Him in the next.
So, you know, just think about that. That has not gone away. To know Him, which is to have that relationship with Him, that personal relationship. And, you know, for me, and I talk about this as often as I can, the big breakthrough is understanding how much God loves you. Now, you understand that supernaturally by opening up your heart and knowing the fact that God so loved the world, right, that He what? Gave His only begotten Son so that whoever may believe in Him will have eternal life, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us each other. And why did He give us each other? So that we may understand how much He loves us by the love that we have for each other. You know, and that's so important. But He gave us the body of Christ so that the body of Christ may build up the church. And it's so important. And as we look at 1 Corinthians, and my brothers and sisters, we're empowered by the Spirit, and we're going to ask that you call your neighbors and you call your friends and ask them to tune in, because this show is something that's going to be very important to change lives. Because everyone out there has been called by Jesus to do something, and many times many things, that only you can do uniquely. And that's one thing that's really important. You take a look at 1 Corinthians and get your Bible out. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. But there's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings in the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to some benefit. To each individual. It's so important. You know, people go, well, I don't have that. I don't, you know, I can't do anything. You know, and every time I hear that, it reminds me of the fact of how much God loves them and how God wants them to understand that they are like a snowflake in which they are unique. There is not two snowflakes that are alike, which is, where are we talking about snow here in Southern California? I've seen it twice in my life. No, just kidding. Lived on the East Coast, so I saw my share of snow. But in any case, it's this uniqueness that we have to understand. I want everyone to take a look at John 15:16, one of my absolute favorite passages, and I know you know that by heart, so go ahead, Carrie Ann, and quote that.
Oh, very funny.
She's anxious to have me quiz her on a number of different things. It says the fact that it is not you who chose me, but I who chose you and anointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father, I shall give you. So each of us are chosen and anointed. This is like King David being anointed with the oil, sevenfold anointing. We're given special grace. In fact, on Christmas Day, All you have to do is look at the first chapter of John, because every Christmas it's the same gospel, first chapter of John, and it talks about, again, the Word becoming flesh and so forth. But it also says that we are given grace upon grace. That's what being anointed is receiving grace upon grace upon grace. And what is grace? What's the definition of a grace? Debbie knows everything.
She does. Oh, gosh, don't put me on the spot here.
Okay. It is.
The gift of life in the soul.
It is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That means the fact that we can't earn it. Mm-mm. God just loves us so much, He pours that upon us. I'd ask everyone to flip to Ephesians 1. And Ephesians 1 talks about that we were created to receive every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in heaven. And how many is every? Is that quite a few?
Eternity.
And do we think that there's a lot of blessings in heaven? A lot of blessings from the Lord?
Absolutely.
And so we're to receive every spiritual blessing. And it says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing and chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. How many people think they're holy and without blemish, Debbie? Not too many?
Very few.
You know, we go to the jails and prisons and we talk to people who are incarcerated, and I always go to these verses. And I go to Romans 8:1 that says that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So all of this love being poured upon us, that we're holy, we're without blemish, we receive every spiritual blessing, that God so loved the world that He gave us, again, Jesus, to love us, that we are called for a purpose. And, you know, many of us have read Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. And what's the first line of Rick Warren's book? The first line of Rick Warren's book, I think that, you know, he's very Catholic in his own way. You know, he's not.
He doesn't know it yet.
He doesn't quite know it yet. But the first line in the book is, it's not about you. So if it's not about you, who is it about?
God.
About God, about Jesus, right? So if it's not about us, we're given every spiritual blessing. We're given the special manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Then that means that we are to say yes to our own uniqueness, our own snowflake. Amen?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So that being the case, what this show is about is learning the step-by-step process of how to say yes to our own uniqueness. So the question is, what is the first step in doing that? What was the first step for you, Debbie? I mean, you've had several transformations. Tell us your story a little bit. I mean, I don't know if you always were this angelic or whether...
Not when I met her.
No. I am the master of rebellion. So well-formed as a child, but slipping away in high school and totally away in college and not returning really to my Catholic roots until my marriage. Mm-hmm. And not really completely at marriage, not until 10 years later. And then it's, once again, a process, giving more and more each day, or trying to.
And what was there any particular event that started happening, or you mentioned a process in which all of a sudden you decided that just take God more seriously?
Well, I was hitting a crisis point in my marriage over contraception. And in the midst of that, I decided to make a Marian pilgrimage, which I had never done before, had never been on a retreat, had never done anything of that sort. I actually thought it was kind of bizarre, but I thought it was a good trip, and my mother-in-law offered to pay for it.
And so that's always a winner, you know. Get your in-laws, you know, they'll pay for trips here, led by the Holy Spirit. And so you went on this Marian trip, and all of a sudden your life began to be different?
My life began to change. It was slow, but I understood for the first time that God was real. And as you said, He loves me, so He initiated it. And the Blessed Mother was calling me to a life with her son.
So we're talking about called and sent, and often the Blessed Mother is the catalyst, mm-hmm. not always, but often. And that catalyst is like a loving mother who wants to shape us and bring us to Jesus. And that, did that happen to you kind of similar or a little bit different?
No, different.
Okay.
Different.
Tell us your story,
not as
Fran.
Rebellious. She was better.
I think that being brought, in the family that I was brought up, obedience was a big deal. That wasn't too hard for me. I had two very Catholic parents. My mom and dad both had devotion to the Blessed Mother. So I think that carried me through even in the college years when most of my Catholic friends were not going to Mass. I still enjoyed going to Mass. It was actually very fortifying for me being, you know, out of state and at college. But really, I'd say the first turning point in my faith was when I came home from college and my mom had cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was life-threatening, and it was very scary to watch my mom and dad going through this, and my dad so sad, who was this staunch, strong man. So that was probably the beginning. My mom and I would have done anything to be healed. She had four children. So when people had made different suggestions, one of them being to go to a church close to our home where they had a spirit-filled seminar, Life in the Spirit. Mom and I did that, and we both thought it was very strange. People were speaking in tongues and lifting their hands and singing. Nevertheless, we continued to go, and I have to say, after 3 months, my mom was miraculously healed. So it was pretty intense. So for me, I just saw God's amazing love and grace and gift of healing firsthand, things that you read about in the Bible that you don't think really are going to happen in your day and age.
We'll be right back after we take a short break, and what we're going to do is focus on what are some of the many things that God may be calling us to and how do we get there. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're with Carrie Ann Caswell and Debbie Hoppe talking about how God calls us and then sends us to build up His church. There's a step-by-step process as it relates to how this works, and at least in my experience. And first of all, challenge God. You know, challenge God and basically say, are you there? Do you love me? Are you really there? I mean, so many people feel like, well, God won't talk to me. But have you really tried? And I'm saying that to you, my brothers and sisters. We're broadcasting here from Christ Cathedral. God has called us to have this show, Empowered by the Spirit, to let you know how much you're loved by Jesus, how much you're loved by the Father, how you're not alone. And I know you're hurting. I know that some of you are going through horrible financial times, physical times, marital problems, family problems, all kinds of issues, but you are not alone. Jesus loves you unconditionally. And, you know, so many times Jesus over and over and over again says to me, let my people know how much I love them. And you look at Romans 8, and I'd really ask that you memorize Romans 8 as much as you can, or at least read it daily. As it says in Romans 8th chapter, starting at verse 37, knowing all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through Him who loved us, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from Jesus. Nothing. Nothing we could ever do. Debbie, you've talked about being rebellious and so forth. But Jesus just kept coming to you and calling you through the Blessed Mother, through the Holy Spirit. You were never separated from Him. And tell the audience, why is that so important to understand?
I think personally I never understood that God loved me personally, that it was more just a general concept that God loves everyone. And when it became personal, that was a life-changing experience. And so you move on to say, now that I am loved, how can I return that love? What can I do in my life that is an expression of my love to God, since now I feel His love?
Amen. And Carrie Ann, tell us about your experience in understanding God's love.
Well, I think back to when my mom was healed, that was huge. I thought, wow, God does really answer prayers. He does love me. He does love my family. He cares about the details. And I think going on the pilgrimage was another time that I felt that intense closeness to God. I remember coming home and writing my parents a thank you note for raising me in the faith. My faith is just huge in my life, and knowing that Jesus and Mary are real, and they care about each one of us, because I think from time to time we all have doubts.
My brothers and sisters, we're on Powered by the Spirit with Carrie Ann Casserole and Debbie Hoppe, talking about how much God loves us and how we are called by that love and sent to help build up the church and to build up the body of Christ. My brothers and sisters, God loves you so much that He sent you this radio show. Mm-hmm. He loves you so much that He sent you the people in your life who love you. Perhaps your parents, your spouse, your children, your friends, your family. Whoever enters your life are enters like an angel in which they are loving you. And yes, people come in your life and sometimes they leave, but often what happens is that you are given exactly what you need at the time that you need it. And for me, the first step is understanding that my sinfulness is not going to be a barrier to God's love. And that's so hard because everyone thinks that they've done the unforgivable sin. Everyone thinks that, well, God could never love me because I did all these horrible things. And it reminds me of a story a couple years ago. I was at Anaheim Convention Center giving talks, and at one of the talks, this woman came up to me and said, I really need to talk to you right away. And so after the healing service that night in Mass, she found me out. There's like 10,000 people, and she, you know, searched for me, and she came up to me and said, you know, I've committed adultery, and I'm here with my pastor. She was from another state and had flown in, and she said, but my life is over. I blew it. You know, it's done. You see, my brothers and sisters, your life is not over. Your life is not over in the sense that God has forgiven you. That's why He died on the cross for you. And even though that she was so active in the church, even though she had gone these thousands of miles to be at this convention, she didn't understand how much God loved her, because that becomes transforming. And that's transforming for you, my brothers and sisters, as you listen to this show, that it doesn't matter what you've done. You have maybe done these things that you think are the most horrible things in the world. Look what Paul did. Paul killed my namesake, right? Stephen, stone, and all the people that he killed. Look what Peter did. How many times did he deny Jesus? I mean, it doesn't matter, because what does matter is that you turn your life to Jesus. So first step, understand how much God loves you. Second step, make the decision. The longest journey in the world is the journey from the head to the heart. Make the decision to surrender your heart to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Don't go halfway. Don't go part of the way. I was 28 years old, and I saw this guy wearing this Holy Spirit pin, and he said, my life has changed. And I said, oh, come on, you know, I know who you are. He goes, no, I found Jesus. I said, wait a minute, I'm Catholic. I go to Mass every Sunday, and, you know, I read, at the time I wasn't reading the Bible, but, you know, I teach CCD, religious education, I do all these things. But he had something I didn't have. He had that relationship with Jesus, and he had turned his life to Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, we're empowered by the Spirit, and we're here to tell you through the power of the Holy Spirit, turn your life to Jesus. Turn your life to Jesus completely. I looked in the mirror. I surrendered my heart to Jesus, and then all of a sudden, my life changed. I couldn't put down Scripture. The words leaped off the page. I talked about Jesus so much, my mother thought I joined a cult. She sent me to a family priest. You see, what happens is that when you surrender your life to Jesus, you get joy. Correct. And I know that happened to both of you. And what's that joy? What's the difference between joy and just the happiness we get in the world?
Well, for me, happiness is fleeting, and joy is lasting. With joy, even if you are suffering, there's a sense of peace and joy in the Lord. I know that sounds odd, but I really do believe that is the beauty of having a relationship with Jesus.
You know, the word joy, my beloved wife, And please pray for her. She has a broken arm and can't be with us. Marianne, she said the Lord came to her and said, joy stands for Jesus over you.
Love that.
You see, happiness is fleeting, but joy lasts forever. And when we give him our heart, Debbie, he gives us back so much more.
I have a funny story. I think it's funny.
I'm laughing already. I can tell.
When I was in second grade, one of the nuns said something to the effect, no, remember, I can't remember it perfectly. When you die, you know, Catholics go to heaven. Catholic, through the Catholic Church, is the normal path to heaven. And my father was Protestant. Well, that was like the most disturbing news to me. I loved my father passionately. So I went home and I prayed for my father every day. Every day. So I was, what, 7? Then 17, 27, 37, 47. And time went on. Pretty soon, my father was 80. And I'm thinking, you know, God did not hear that prayer. Because certainly, that's a prayer that God would answer positively. When he was 85, a year before he died, he became Catholic.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So surrendering our hearts to Jesus means that we trust in him, means that we understand that, as it says in the 15th chapter of John, without me you can do nothing, that we have to surrender our lives to him totally. Otherwise, we're like in James 1, a wave that keeps breaking and going, tossing back and forth. We're never really settled. We don't have peace. You know, peace comes, my brothers and sisters, when we say, yes, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. Yes, I trust you for my finances, and that means you. I trust you for my spouse, and that means you listening. I trust you for my health, no matter what the doctor's report is. And we're believing that our daughter, Laura, is being healed of cancer, and even though she doesn't have the greatest report, we trust in God. We trust in God's healing, whether it be spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Every good gift is something that we can give back a hundredfold spiritually. And so it's so important for me. I mean, why do I do what I do? Because I know, I figured out through grace, not through my own effort, I opened my heart enough to understand that even though I'm broken, even though I've done these things that, you know, I'm not really proud of in my life, I can say unequivocally that God died on the cross for me, rose, and went into heaven in order to save me of those sinful times, and that he loves me so much that I need not worry. I can trust in him. And that's what it's all about. And understanding that means that I'm obligated to share that with other people because they don't necessarily understand. And if I can be used by Christ to share his love with people, then that means that I'm fulfilling what we're called to do, which is, as we're baptized, to be priest, prophet, and king. We're called to be evangelists. We're called to share his love. We're called to make a difference. So we're going to get into very specifically what are some things we can do with corporate works of mercy, with spiritual works of mercy, to make a difference once we understand how we're being called. We certainly hope you're enjoying this program. This program is a collaboration between the SOAR Ministry and our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. We feel that the Holy Spirit's uniting us together, giving us the opportunity to speak with you each week. We'd love to hear from you. Contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritFilledHearts.org. That's DeaconSteve@SpiritFilledHearts.org. We want this program to be everything you'd like it to be. We look forward to hearing from you. We're going to take a short break and be right back. Hello, everyone. Deacon Steve Greco back here on Empowered by the Spirit with Carrie Ann Caswell and Debbie Hoppe. And we've been talking about being called and sent. When you're called, you understand that you're loved by God. When you're called, you have a decision to make. Jesus says, come follow me. He basically is saying, are you willing to give up? Are you willing to leave behind your flesh? Leave behind what you did before? And come follow me and make a difference. Now, you may ask the question, how do you know what to do? And for everyone, you know, it's the same question. It's like, how do I know it's God calling me? How do I know it's just not my flesh, or maybe even the evil one, or whatever it might be? And I certainly thought about that in becoming a deacon. And I'll never forget, it was so obvious to me that this particular friend of mine, Larry Wilson, and if you're out there, Larry, thank you. I haven't seen you for a while. And we were in the parking lot of the church, and he said, "I believe that God wants you to be a deacon." "Oh, no, what are you kidding me?" You know, and I said, "Well, I'm in business and whatever." And he looks at me and he says, "God has enough businessmen. He needs to have more holy deacons and more deacons." And so what did I do? Well, I internalized that, talked to my spouse, and I often believe in, yes, men, this is for you. Listen to your wives, because the Holy Spirit speaks through them, and I'm sure vice versa. And talked to friends, and I prayed. And I opened my heart and I said, "Lord, I'm going to give you my heart. So I want you to tell me, you know, what is it that you want me to do?" And I, Debbie, you've talked about being rebellious, and I was just rebellious. I was so rebellious that I went to the classes as it relates to being interviewed and all that stuff. But I was just, you know, I didn't think this wasn't for me and whatever, but I kept going back. And often what will happen is that you may not be sure, but just keep going. Keep going to that program or keep attending and just let God work on you. Because remember, if it's worthwhile, the enemy also doesn't want you to do it. So I showed up and, you know, and it was like, "Well, you know, I'm really not sure and I'm not sure this is me." And I wrote my application, and I'll never forget the head of the diaconate calling me in his office and say, "Well, you obviously didn't put a lot of time into this." But I think at the end of the day, what came down to is that I wasn't sure. But the one thing I did say is that the more that I prayed about it, the more I got drawn into it. And so as I began drawn into it, I realized that God was calling me. And Debbie, you've talked about your experience with the Blessed Mother in Medjugorje, and all of a sudden that led to your being called to do different things like NFP and rosary groups and so forth. Tell us about it.
Well, it started with a rosary group in our parish. The Blessed Mother has asked us to pray the rosary and to pray for priests. So that was kind of odd, praying for priests. Who would really pray for priests? Because they seem to be holier than us, right? So you pray for other people, people that are sick, people that are dying, but who would pray for priests? But anyway, we got the rosary group going, and we did begin to pray intensely for the priesthood. This was in 1990. We didn't know what was ahead of us. And that group expanded, and it went on for 20 years. And then at the same time, while my marriage is changing and conversion's happening and I'm getting off contraception, I'm inclined to take natural family planning classes. I feel so passionate about it that I feel like I have to teach. This is knowledge that has to get out to the world. And so I signed up to be a teacher. But I recruited my friend Carrie Ann because, you know, no disciple wants to be alone, do they?
No. Go by two by two, right?
Two by two, right.
Thanks, Michael, for being here. And so, absolutely. But the process for our listening audience here is that there's something within your heart. You know, you just can't let it go. You know, it's just like burning within you. And did you experience that, you know, even though you may fight it, that God is there?
The intensity, I call it the intensity of heat, interior heat, to do something, to pray for priests, to promote natural family planning, to teach, it was so strong, it was pretty much impossible to walk away from and have any peace.
And there was something else that changed in our life. I used to go to the gym in the morning, and now I was going to daily mass. And so that was brand new.
And again, you were called to do that. You know, you felt
this
burning.
Absolutely. It was so real. To me, it was like if I would leave the house without brushing my teeth. I mean, it was so important to be there every morning to be fed.
So tell us how God was leading you, Carrie Ann, in terms of what were some of the things He was calling you to do.
I think making changes like daily mass, saying the rosary every day, finding a spiritual director. I don't think I even heard of people going to spiritual directors, so I did that for many years to a wonderful priest down at the Prince of Peace Abbey in Oceanside. I was asked to make a two-year commitment to teach junior high children who had not received any sacraments, who were going in to enter the church. For whatever reason, their parents decided now at this point in time in their life they wanted them to be part of the faith. So that was really a huge, huge grace for 2 years to be able to be with these young children that were like little sponges. I really got more out of it than I gave, I have to say. So that was a beautiful experience. And then teaching natural family planning with Debbie was wonderful, being with all these young married couples who are choosing to start their marriage out the way I wished I had. And now today, I think I most recently, a year ago, joined the Legion of Mary, which gives me lots more opportunities.
Okay. And in the Legion, you're doing a lot of different things in terms of visiting the sick. You're certainly counseling them, but through whether it be Legion of Mary or certainly St. Vincent de Paul, you know, in terms of feeding the hungry and doing the corporate works of mercy or spiritual works of mercy, but you're praying with them and you're making a difference in loving them.
Yes, yes. We take communion to the elderly at two different homes in Irvine, which is another huge grace.
And you've also been involved with the youth in terms of detention ministry. And tell us about that.
Well, actually, I have to say it's very, very recent. Mm-hmm. Last Sunday was the first time that I went to juvenile hall for young men who are not quite even 18, which is remarkable. And that was a very emotional experience for me. And I think it's something that I really want to do going forward, because I've always had a compassion for homeless youth. And I did try to get into different areas, and it never worked out. So I'm not sure what God has in mind, but I do have great compassion for the youth.
I know for many of you, you have great compassion and a great feeling to protect the unborn.
Yes.
You know, and Debbie, I know that's been something that you've been involved in also.
So out of natural family planning, I got connected with Birth Choice, which is now called Obria nationally, and we speak to women. They come to our clinic, much like a Planned Parenthood, women who are in crisis pregnancies. And that is something I never have said I would never do. I never wanted to speak to someone who was contemplating abortion. I thought it would be completely too stressful for me to handle. But they give you the tools, the training to help you learn to talk, and your comfort level improves the longer you stay with it. And that's been quite a valuable experience.
And having been on the board of Birth Choice for 6 years, I can say unequivocally that it's an incredible thing. And I also have a great passion to protect the unborn. And but again, God gives that to you. God gives you that grace. And we see in 1 Corinthians 12:27, that you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. So we are Christ's hands, eyes, ears, mouth, brain. We're everything. Now, some people God has designated to be apostles. You know, we've talked about evangelization and a passion of mine to go forth and let people know they're loved. Let people know that Jesus is real. They died on the cross for them and rose from the dead for them, and to forgive their sins. Prophets, again, teachers. You know, Carrie Ann, you mentioned that. You both have been teaching. I mean, natural family planning and different types of things. Mighty deeds, gifts of healing. My brothers and sisters, many of you have healing ministries without even realizing it. And that's one of the areas that we get involved in Spirit-Filled Hearts. We go all over the country, and California in particular, and have healing services and healing masses, and pray over people because God has told us to do that. In Mark 16:18, it said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And in James 5, it talks about, you know, go to the elders and ask them for prayer. And so, I mean, all of that becomes really important. Administration. A lot of people don't realize that administration, being on various committees in terms of administration committees, finance committees, which my friend Michael was on for many years, different committees are very, very important in running of the church. And again, That's a gift that you can do. And again, not everyone has these gifts, but all of you have at least a gift, you know, if not more than one gift. And again, it's so important to understand the fact that you were chosen to really share your gifts, to share your fruits, to share what God has given you. You make a difference. You make a difference in a way that you don't expect. Now, who doesn't want us to use our gifts, Carrie Ann?
The enemy.
The enemy. The enemy does not want. And what's the enemy say to us?
Oh, it won't make a difference. Doesn't really matter. You can't affect a change.
Someone else will do it.
You're too busy.
You're too busy. You're not worthy. Right? And it doesn't matter. I mean, all of those things. And, you know, I know as you're listening out there in this radio audience that those things have popped in your mind, and they've popped into my mind. The Lord will say, go to the hospital and visit that person in the hospital. Ah, someone else will do it. You know, they'll enter that mind, you know, that thought will enter your mind. But, you know, so as we come back, we're going to talk about, again, how do we say yes to these various areas, and how do we make sure that we're living what God wants us to do? We'll be right back. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're back on Powered by the Spirit with Carrie Ann Caswell and Debbie Hoppe talking about being called and sent. And we're talking about a menu of different things. And things that were mentioned is visiting the sick, and we look at the corporate works of mercy, sheltering the homeless. Carrie Ann talked about visiting those in prison. Burying the dead, you know, is something that's really important. But there's another really critical thing, and that's just prayer itself, intercessory prayer. I often will go into a nursing home or into a retirement community and have people tell me, well, I can't do anything. You know, I'm not mobile. What can I do? And what would be a good answer to them, Carrie Ann?
I think pray. Pray for those who don't know Jesus. Pray for those who are lonely or destitute, have no hope. I don't think you have to be out among people to affect a change for people.
And prayer changes things, and the rosary changes things, and the Blessed Mother, Debbie, in terms of just understanding the power of the rosary. And I will say unequivocally that we can't give out enough rosaries and to everybody, but people that are in nursing homes, what a great opportunity for them to pray for their family, mm-hmm. to pray for those incarcerated, for pray for those relatives that don't know Jesus, and just use the Blessed Mother's love through her son Jesus and through the rosary as such an important spiritual tool.
And the other thing, in addition to the rosary, is if you have the opportunity to spread the story of the miraculous medal.
Tell us that story.
A very powerful story about how the miraculous medal came about. But there's one particular aspect of it that always touches me, and that is when St. Catherine Laboure had the image of Mary, of Our Lady, with her arms outstretched, as we see in statues, Our Lady of Grace, and she saw rays. The Blessed Mother had jewels on her fingers, and there were rays coming out from those precious gems. But she noticed that some of the gems didn't have any rays coming out, and Catherine said to Our Lady, "So, like, what's the deal with the gems that have no rays?" And the Blessed Mother said, "Those are the graces for which no one asks."
Amen. And so, praying the Divine Mercy, mm-hmm. along with praying the Rosary, praying the chaplet, you know, and so forth, is all those things are important.
Eucharistic adoration,
and there's so much that we can do that we're being called to do to make a difference. And you know, I think for my life, you know, God gave me certain things that really made a difference in terms of trying to let people know that they were loved by God. I mean, one of the things was just, you know, involved in St. Vincent de Paul or visiting those that are hungry and need groceries and just letting them know they're not alone. And, you know, those things are very important. my brothers and sisters here, we're on Empowered by the Spirit, and it's really critical to understand that every aspect of your background can be used by God to build up His people and to love His people. I'm looking at one of the leaders here of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, Michael Amola. I'm using his name here on the air, mm-hmm. brother in the Lord, and he has been involved in the employment initiative. And, you know, I know that was a passion of mine because I was, you know, have been heavily involved in leadership and as an executive within healthcare and hiring many, many people. And so many people don't understand how to write a resume, or don't understand how to use LinkedIn, or don't understand how to communicate. You know, we were talking about that the other day, and if you're looking for a job, you know, how can you summarize what you've done to make an impact? How can you use the concept of enumeration? So there are three things I'd like to tell you as to why you should hire me. First, second, third, organizing your thoughts. Organizing your resume in which your key accomplishments leap off the page and you don't have to search for them. You know, how do you network? How do you find people? So those are all things that we do in our employment initiative. And again, God gives you that passion to make a difference as He has with Michael and others and myself, you know, in those areas. So it can be a lot of different things. Hospitality is one that I have to tell you unequivocally, I love that. And our prayer ministry and prayer group at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, I'm so thankful when people come in the door with some type of food or drink, and especially if they've made it, you know, that they took the time and labor of love to do that. But how about when people are down and out and someone drops a meal by? You know, wow. Mm-hmm. You talk about Jesus working, and tell us about hospitality from your perspective, because people feel, well, I don't have these gifts, I don't have this or that, or I don't have time for that. But maybe you have time to make a little casserole or something and pop it by. Or,
well, I would be the guilty one that says, yep, I'm not too involved in hospitality. But yet I have been the recipient. And I think when there's a death in the family and people bring food for the family, meals prepared, that's the last thing on your mind. You're trying to prepare, you know, to say goodbye to your loved one and the community to be able to say goodbye. And you have so many arrangements to make. So when someone is kind enough to make a meal for you, it is so gratifying. I mean, for the family, and you feel so loved.
My daughter was telling about a ministry in her parish, I think it's called the Elizabeth Ministry, where people are involved who bring meals to women who have had a baby, who have lost a baby through miscarriage or stillbirth, anything related to pro-life. It's an extension of pro-life. And so it can be any age, young or old, can help out, even offering babysitting.
But it starts with, again, wanting to make a difference. It starts with having that relationship with Jesus. It starts with prayer and asking, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And it could be almost anything. How about driving people to Mass? You know, there are so many shut-ins that don't have rights to Mass. So many people need help in different areas. Giving financially. Giving of your time, talent, and treasure, but giving financially is something, if you've been blessed with some sort of financial gain of some kind and you want to share that with whomever, it could be an organization, it could be a charity, it could be the church, whatever it is. I mean, again, that comes from the Lord because it's the Lord's money. And it's so important to understand the fact that you can't outgive God's generosity.
And I'm also thinking, as you're saying, giving of yourself, I think it's important to remember, if not financially, but at least by card recognition, the anniversaries of the priests and pastors in your parish.
How about deacons?
You don't have to remember deacons, okay? But their anniversaries of ordination, their birthdays, you know, to remember to pray for them, send them a card. If you're capable of sending a financial gift, great too.
And I know someone sitting right next to me that sent me a Mass card. And that was so powerful for me. You know, it was unbelievable. I mean, I think I still have it up on the wall. It's little things like that where you know someone is praying for you, someone cares about you or your family, times of trial, and you obviously, Carrie Ann, it was Carrie Ann. You know
Shoot,
that.
Shoot, I hope I don't lose the graces for that now.
No. It's been multiplied. But what leads you to do Mass cards for people?
I really believe the Mass is the perfect prayer.
Amen.
And if it's the perfect prayer, then I want to give that to all my friends and family, and especially on occasions. Debbie and I have always done this for each other. She is my son's godmother, and she has been extremely generous with having Masses said for my son. And so I love doing that now.
But what are some other areas that you guys can think of that for our listening audience? Because so many people say, I don't know what to do. But we've talked about teaching. We've talked about visiting the sick. We've talked about intercessory prayer.
If you're a grandmother, I think helping watch the grandchildren periodically a few hours a week is a great blessing and a relief for the mom and dad to get time away. If they need help because their career and they need assistance.
Good. It's also an opportunity for evangelization for your grandchildren.
Amen.
You can share about saints. And I
can tell you unequivocally, grandparents, you make a huge difference. And, you know, we've seen it in our lives, and it is such a big difference. And my brothers and sisters, we're empowered by the Spirit. We're so excited that you've joined us. And you have been called by Jesus to make a difference. You've been called to go out into the world and to love His people, loving them unconditionally. And we pray right now through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus that you say yes to be called, and that you say yes in whatever God is sending you to. We certainly have enjoyed being with you and look forward to being with you next week at the same time on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.